we've talked the last couple of Sunday mornings about the transformed life, and we're not going to talk about that again. But the lesson that I have for you tonight, I think, plays in nicely to that theme, the transformed life that we're to live, and maybe some further thoughts that correspond with that. I'm going to invite you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I actually want to focus on just one phrase that Paul makes there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 here in just a moment. I don't know if you've given much thought to this. Maybe it would be an interesting thought exercise for you sometime to just consider this question. How many people do you suppose that over the course of a normal day, how many people do you encounter? And I mean that pretty loosely. We could define that in any number of ways, but I'm talking about the people that you have a conversation with, maybe strangers that you don't know that you have some interaction with. Maybe you don't really have any kind of a meaningful connection with somebody, but people you walk past in the mall or in a store, or people who see you at your place of work or at school or whatever it is. How many people with just sort of a bare minimum kind of barrier, kind of a bare minimum description, how many people would you say that you encounter in a day? I assumed that there would be some kind of study done on that. And I could just go to my good friend Google and type in, how many people does the average person encounter in a day, and come up with some number to tell you the average person encounters so many people in a day. Google was no help to me. And the reason there's no studies done on that, or the studies that are done on that are pretty inconclusive, is because that's really, really difficult to peg down. Because there's so many different variables. Some of us work jobs where we meet a bunch of people in a day and have conversations with and see a bunch of people in a day. Some of us don't work those kinds of jobs. Some of us are retired. Some of us go out more. Some of us stay in more. But I want you to think just about your life and your daily routine. I want you to consider how many people you encounter in a given day. I don't know if that's 50 people for you. Maybe you encounter 50 people a day. Maybe you encounter 100 people a day. Maybe you go to the mall one day and you encounter a lot of people, right? Maybe that's 500 people. I don't know how many that is for each and every one of us. I imagine if you include our social media contacts with that, if you're on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is, maybe you encounter through that thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people. Who knows how many people we interact with in a day? The fact is, we run across a lot of people in a day, and whether we are people who are people and are always out engaging with people, or whether we're introverts and we don't really like that, I guarantee you still probably interact with more people in a day than you think. People walking past us, people moving around us, people interacting with us in various capacities. You know, think about all these people that we interact with. How do they see us? What do they see in us in these brief encounters with us? Whether we have a conversation with them or not, I think it's important for us to ask the question, we interact with a bunch of people over the course of a day. What are we showing them with our lives? What do they see about us when they pass you in a grocery store shopping? When you sit next to someone in a theater, when you bump into someone at the park, what do they see in your life that's different, that distinguishes you from anyone else in the world that they might encounter? Do people see a Christian in you? Do they see someone who is following Christ? Paul was a man who was always seen among people. Every time we encounter Paul in the book of Acts, it seems like he's just surrounded by people. Everything Paul did was aimed towards evangelism. It was aimed towards bringing people the gospel and bringing people to Christ through that gospel. And Paul even taught, not just through words. We look a lot at Paul's sermons and the messages Paul brings, but one of the ways that Paul taught the gospel was by his life, by his actions, by the things that he did. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I want you just to focus on verse 1 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Paul says, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. I want you to consider that simple statement with me for just a few minutes tonight. Paul says, be imitators of me. Isn't that interesting? That Paul's instruction to the Corinthians is to look at me. Do the things that I do. Imitate me. Disciples of Christ constantly pointed people to Christ in the New Testament. And Paul was no different. In fact, in this same book, back in chapter 2, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says that he made sure that he preached nothing to these Corinthians but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul's whole gospel was surrounded and consumed by who Jesus was and what it was that he did. Paul always pointed people to Christ. And the other disciples in the book of Acts did the same thing. When various men go out and preach and they teach, they always point people to Christ. They always say, look at Christ. Look at what he did. Look at who he is. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul tells the Corinthians to do something that seems unusual. It seems odd that Paul, who is often so keyed in on getting people to look at Christ, that here in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, look at me, imitate me, do what I'm doing. This isn't the only time Paul does this, though. Paul actually made a habit of doing this, of telling people to look at the things he's doing. Earlier in this book, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul says, therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me, Paul says. This is the very same thing. This is not an anomaly in Paul's teaching. He does a similar thing over in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. He tells them to look at his example, to follow him. And we might reason some, some reasons in our mind about why Paul does that. Why is it that Paul on these occasions doesn't say, look to Christ? Why does he say, look at me? We might say, well, you know, Paul was an apostle. Paul was inspired, and so Paul could do those kinds of things, and that's true. But apostles failed at times. Paul himself looks at the example of, points to Peter and says, Peter was a guy who failed in certain instances. Peter was an apostle. There were times that Paul told his people he was writing to, Paul said, don't follow Peter. Don't be like Peter. So it can't just be because Paul is an apostle. Why does Paul tell others to imitate himself? I think we need to recognize something about this, something about us and our relationship to this discussion. This isn't just about Paul. We need to recognize that all Christians are expected to be exemplary. That's something we all have a responsibility to be. To be examples to the world around us. That is to say, all of us need to be men and women who are worthy of imitation. In Matthew chapter 5, you'll remember the text, I'm sure, where Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says that you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Don't lose your flavor. Don't cover up your light, right? But make it so that everybody sees, so that everybody can taste who you are and what you are. Be exemplary. Be seen. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, Paul tells Timothy on that occasion that he is to be an example to the saints. Don't let anyone look down on your youth, Paul tells Timothy, but rather be an example. Be someone worth following. Be someone worth imitating. He tells the same thing to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Show yourself to be an example to all people, Paul tells Titus. And on we could go with scriptures that teach this point, that we're to be examples to the world around us, to our brethren. We're to be salt and light to the world. Be an example. This isn't just for Paul. This isn't just because Paul is an apostle that he says, be imitators of me. This is something we all need to be able to say of ourselves. So we all need to live our lives so that we can say, like Paul, do what I do. Be like I am. How comfortable are you with that? How comfortable are you with putting yourself out there as an example for people to follow? Is that comfortable for you? Would you feel good about that? You know, think about all those people we encounter, right? I don't know how many people you decided you encountered in a day. But I want you to think about all those people that walk by you in the store, that see you in line at the grocery store, that see you at whatever place you may be, your work, your school, whatever. Think about all those people you encounter. Would you be willing to go up to every single one of them and say, be like me? I'm a good example to follow. And that sounds a little, you know, prideful, right? Maybe we wouldn't use those words. But are we living our lives in such a way that we can point to ourselves and say, if you do what I do, you will be doing right. If you live like me, you will be right in God's eyes. How comfortable are we with that? Paul says, be imitators of me. And it's not just Paul, it's not just because he's an apostle, it's because he's a follower of Jesus Christ, and followers of Jesus Christ are examples to those around them. Are you? Paul says, be imitators of me. I want you to look at the second part of that sentence. He says, be imitators of me, and then he adds this, just as I also am of Christ. That last part of that verse, that last part of that sentence is significant. Because Paul shows us or tells us that he imitates Christ. He models his life after Christ. And I think that that really gives us the answer. We might wonder, why does Paul say imitate himself? Why does Paul say look at me? It's not because Paul was vain or conceited or self-centered. It's not because Paul thought that he was the greatest thing or that there was nobody better than Paul. It's not because he was an inspired apostle. The only reason Paul is worthy of imitation is because he imitates the Christ. Can I say that again? The only reason Paul is worthy of imitation is because he imitates the Christ. Did you know that like Paul, we're supposed to imitate Christ? That's one of our jobs as Christians. We're to be people who model our lives after Christ. And many texts speak of Jesus' example and how we're to follow that example. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22 teaches us that just as Christ suffered, we are to follow in his footsteps and suffer like Christ. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, the Hebrews writer says that Jesus left us a perfect example to follow. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27, Jesus teaches that if anyone wants to follow Christ, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him, right? If you're going to be a disciple of his, you have to follow him. And there are other places that give us this explicit instruction to mirror Christ in your life, to be like Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 tells us to imitate God. Walk like Christ. In the same way that he lived, live your life. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6 teaches us that we're to walk like he walked. Again, well, we can keep going, right? Over and over and over and over and over again in Scripture, there's this instruction that we're to model our lives after Christ, that we're to be like Jesus, that we're to do things the way he did them. Imitating Christ is fundamental stuff for Christians, or at least it should be. Imitating Christ is being a Christian. That's what it means. That's what it means to be a disciple of his. To follow everywhere he goes and learn at his feet and learn to think like him. We're students of his. That's what it means to be a Christian. To take on Christ's name upon ourselves and model our life after his and follow him in the direction he walked. By imitating Christ, we enter and remain in a right relationship with him. Think about Romans chapter 6. How do we come into a relationship with Christ? How do we contact the death of Christ? It's through mirroring Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection through baptism. How do we remain in that relationship? It's by mirroring Christ, by rising to walk in new life. By imitating Christ, we are faithful to him. That's the very essence of what it means to be faithful. To be like Christ. And when we imitate Christ, we become worthy of imitation ourselves. You want to change the world? You want to make a big impact in this country or in the world around, or just in this community? You want to make a real impact? and the world around you? Imitate the Christ. Because he's the one who has the answers that the world is looking for. He's the one that all of those people that you encounter in your life need to see. They all need to see Jesus. Are we worthy of imitation? Are you worthy of imitation? Paul says, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. That's a really brief statement, but it's really, really impactful. Paul was worthy of imitation. Paul was worthy of being a model of Christ, a model for Christians, I should say. And he was worthy because he modeled Christ. Because he modeled his life after what Jesus did and who Jesus was. Maybe to put that a different way, to word that just a little bit differently, when people looked at Paul, they didn't see Paul. When people looked at Paul, they saw Jesus. I'm afraid that it is our instinct far too often to say something like, don't look at me. Don't do what I do. Look at Christ and do what Christ did and does. I'm just a man, right? I'm just a human. I sin. I'm not worthy of imitation. I'm afraid that's what we're inclined to say. And while the thought of being humble in that way is admirable, I think a lot of times that's the way we're thinking. You know, we're just going to be humble. It's just little old me. Don't follow me. Don't do what I do. The thought of humility is admirable in those kinds of statements, but that misses the point of what Jesus wants us to do and what Jesus wants us to be. Misses the point entirely. Our goal, being disciples of Christ, being people who belong to God, our goal is to point people to Jesus Christ. But we do this by showing them Christ in our lives. You see, we need to live our lives so that people can look at us and know something about Jesus. Not everything about Jesus, but know something about Jesus. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. I want to read just a couple of verses over in the book of Galatians before we close here. Galatians chapter 2. Scott read for us at the beginning of our worship from Galatians chapter 2. And in Galatians chapter 2, down in verse 20, Paul has this to say. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Paul says that his life is so different now. His life is so changed. It's so transformed, right? Paul's life is so transformed that he looks nothing like he used to look because it is no longer him living, but it is as if Christ lives in him. Christ is his head now. Christ makes the decisions. The things that he does are the things that Christ would do. Down in Galatians chapter 3, a little bit later on in the book, in Galatians chapter 3, down in verse 26, he says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, having clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. I want you to notice what Paul says happens at the point of baptism. When you are immersed into Christ, Paul says you clothe yourself in Christ. Clothes are interesting things. Because clothes teach people or tell people something about the person wearing them. Did you know that? You can tell right away, many times, what kind of a job someone has based on the clothes they wear. Maybe they have some kind of a uniform for work. Maybe they wear a suit and tie and you recognize, maybe not exactly what they do, but they probably have some office job, they're some high up corporate office or something. You know something about them based on the clothes that they wear. clothes tell people something about what you think, about where you are and what you're doing. Paul says that when you are immersed in Christ in baptism, you put on Christ. You clothe yourself in Christ. Christians, do people know something about you based on the life you live? Can they look at you and know something about who you serve, who your master is, how your life has changed? We need to live our lives so that people can look at us and see Jesus. So that people can look at us and know something about the Savior. Are you worthy of imitation? Are you the kind of person that you could look to those people around you and say, "Look at me"? We're going to leave this building. We're going to go to our homes. We're going to go to bed. And if God allows it, we'll wake up again tomorrow and we'll go to our jobs. We'll go to our school. We'll go to wherever it is that we go during the normal course of our day. And you're going to encounter a lot of people. Will they be introduced to Jesus tomorrow? Will people see Jesus in you? Will you be worthy of imitation like Paul? If you need to make changes in your life before tomorrow, if you need to make changes in your life before you leave this building, don't leave without making your life a model of who Christ is, so that you can show people Christ in the world. And if we can help you with that, we would love to have that opportunity. If you need spiritual assistance, if you need prayers or encouragement, why don't you come and make those needs known as we stand and as we sing a song of encouragement.